Good morning.
Oh.
Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah 61, verses 10 through 62:3. That can be found on page 650 and 651 of the Old Testament in the Pew Bible. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the glory, the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give you. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's turn to our gospel lesson this morning, which will come from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. Which can be found in your New Testament in the Pew Bible on page 55, or you can follow on the big screen. It's a little bit of a lengthy reading, so if you don't feel like you can want to stand through the whole thing, be my guest, remain seated. So, hear these words. When the time came for purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male should be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servants in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that would be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, and the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee and to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Renee beat me to it, but Happy New Year. And as the new year begins, and I'm sure none of you are going to admit it, but there are some new year resolutions going on out there, right? Right. You know, and the practice of making new year's resolutions goes back over 3,000 years to the ancient Babylonians. There is just something about the start of a new year that gives us the feeling of a fresh start and a new beginning. In reality, there is no difference between December 31st and January 1st. Nothing mystical happens at midnight on December 31st. The Bible does not speak for or against the concept of New Year's resolutions. However, if a Christian determines to make a New Year's resolution, what kind of resolution should he or she make? Common New Year resolutions are commitments to quit smoking, to stop drinking, to manage money more wisely, and to spend more time with family. By far, the most common New Year's resolution is to lose weight. In conjunction with exercising more and eating healthy, these are all good goals to set. However, 1 Timothy 4:8 instructs us to keep exercise in perspective. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The vast majority of New Year's resolutions, even among Christians, are in relation to physical things. This should not be. Many Christians make New Year resolutions to pray more, to read the Bible every day, and to attend church more regularly. These are fantastic goals. However, these New Year resolutions fail just as often as the non-spiritual resolutions, because there is no power in a New Year's resolution. Resolving to start or stop doing a certain activity has no value unless you have the proper motivation for stopping or starting that activity. For example, why do you want to read the Bible every day? Is it to honor God and grow spiritually? Or is it because you have just heard that it is a good thing to do? Why do you want to lose weight? Is it to honor God with your body? Or is it for vanity, to honor yourself? Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. John 15:5 declares, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If God is the center of your New Year's resolution, it has a chance for success, depending on your commitment to it. If it is God's will for something to be fulfilled, He will enable you to fulfill it. If a resolution is not God-honoring or is not in agreement in God's word, we will not receive God's help in fulfilling that resolution. So, what sort of New Year's resolution should a Christian make? Here are some suggestions. One, pray to the Lord for wisdom. As it says in James 1, verse 5, those who lack wisdom, pray for it. And when you pray for the Lord for wisdom in regards to what resolution, if any, He would have you make. Two, pray for wisdom as to how to fulfill the goals God gives you. Three, rely on God's strength to help you. Four, find an accountability partner who will help you and encourage you. And I will not be your accountability partner. Five, don't become discouraged with occasional failures. Instead, allow them to motivate you farther. Six, don't become proud or vain, but give God the glory. Psalm 37, 5 through 6 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make you righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Let it be so. Amen. Told you it was going to be a quick one this morning.